what we're trying to do is create value-added products from coal and coal waste coal. So we're specifically looking at graphitic products, including carbon fiber, industrial-grade carbon fiber, high-performance carbon fiber, as well as graphite. And the big issue for graphite is for energy storage.
So let's delve into a little bit more. So how does the process work?
So the process that we're doing starts off with cleaning the coal. In the case of the waste coal, we have to clean it up. We have to get out all of the ash and mineral matter, dirt, for lack of a better term. We have to enrich the coal fraction of that. At that point, we're pretty much apples to apples with the mined coal. And we convert then that coal to a liquid. We have to do this if we're going to spin it into a fiber. We have to have a liquid. But by converting it to a liquid, we can even further refine it, further purify it by filtration. And then we convert that liquid to what's known as a pitch, and specifically a mesophase pitch, from which we can heat it. Mesophase pitch is a solid at room temp. Mm-hmm. And as we heat it, it will melt and flow, similar to a polymer, say polyethylene. And in that regard, we're able to then spin fibers from it, from this mesophase pitch. Then once those fibers have been spun, we can effectively heat treat them to high temperatures. And the mesophase pitch has the special quality that it converts over to the graphite crystals upon high heat treatment temperatures.
Okay. I think I followed that pretty well.
Yeah, sorry.
I think I did.
So, and I'm going to jump around here a little bit, but in terms of application, there was mention in the news release about, you know, renewable energy, transportation, and security, I think, were the three items mentioned. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, certainly the utilization of the graphites that we focus on producing an anode-grade graphite, specifically for use in lithium-ion cells. And this graphite is needed to produce electric vehicle batteries at scale. So there's something like 100 pounds of graphite in a modern electric vehicle battery. A lot of graphite. Most of that graphite is not coming from the United States, and we would like to have a little bit more security there. So that's part of the interest. And of course, then the other interest is being able to convert coal and waste coal into a value-added product that we need at scale right now.
Mm-hmm. So the graphite, okay, so the use of graphite, how would that be, and you've talked about this already some, but be different from the carbon fibers?
Okay, yeah, so in the spinning process of producing the carbon fibers, we're able to orient that graphite along one direction, the axis of the fiber. And in so doing, we create fibers that have very high mechanical properties along that direction. And of course, these resultant carbon fibers are useful for a whole range of applications, but namely for very lightweight, very stiff, strong structures is one of the big applications. For example, you know, about 20 years ago, the Boeing introduced the 787 aircraft, which is a dual-aisle aircraft that is displacing the 767 aircraft. Bottom line is that, in part with other things, they were able to achieve about a 20% increased fuel efficiency by effectively lightweighting the plane, again, along with some other things. So from that perspective, lightweighting vehicles is a big deal in terms of energy efficiency, certainly highlighted in the aviation area. But the same physics apply to passenger vehicles, Class 8 trucks, all vehicles across the board. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So those are the carbon fibers. There are other applications of the carbon fibers as well that are thermal, where we're looking for control of the thermal conductivity of a structure or control of its thermal expansion. These are engineering factors that play roles in things like space structures that go under large temperature swings and need to sustain their dimensions to function. They don't need to twist any or bend out of plane any for these kinds of structures to function. With respect to the graphite and the anode-grade graphite powders that we're really focused on, these don't have to be spun. They don't necessarily need this anisotropic one-dimensional order. So in that regard, we're following the lead of the incumbent technology, which is producing synthetic graphite from a petroleum byproduct. The synthetic graphite that's produced from these processes is in fact used in lithium-ion batteries currently, along with natural graphites and others. But here we're focused on purity of the graphites. We're focused on features of it, including its specific surface area, its tap density, and as well as its crystal structures that we can probe through X-ray diffraction and other techniques. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. Graphite, I still, first of all, think of golf club shafts.
Yeah.
It's like, which was, I don't know how many years ago that was, but so as far as the applications, are there beyond transportation areas as well?
Sure, right. So the sporting goods area for carbon fibers still is pretty big, right? Golf clubs, fishing poles, tennis rackets, all this kind of stuff. You know, I think commercial aviation is still the big volume user of carbon fiber. Close behind it, however, is wind energy. Mm-hmm. Here, the amount of power generated is proportional to the length or the circle that's circumscribed, you know, from the turning of the windmill blades. And as that gets larger, these blades want to wobble more. They have to be stiffer. But they also need to be very lightweight for the wind to move them efficiently. So here, carbon fiber is used to make ever larger, typically offshore-type wind blades. They're called the spar caps that keep the stiffness of the wind blades. Hmm. That's one of the big uses. Then, of course, you know, there's carbon fiber in cars. This has been for a long time, right? You could get yourself a nice Lamborghini in the 1990s that had a carbon fiber. Of course, you'd have to write that check.
Yeah.
But you know, there are manufacturers of much higher volume, much cheaper, affordable type vehicles that are ever more including lightweighting strategies that might have carbon fiber in them.
Mm-hmm. Certainly don't want to overlook or get beyond the whole issue of using coal waste. So, you know, that looks like from the glance at it, it looks like a win-win situation because of, you know, using this, it's just sitting there. How important is that aspect of this research?
You know, I think that's one of the highlights is being able to take a waste source and convert it into something so value-added. That's just one of the highlights of the work. You're right. I mean, it's there. Scientifically, we're looking for the aromatic type molecules that are in the coal. We want to use those. And yes, they are available in impoundment ponds and the like. So yeah, we're excited about that aspect of it.
So what would be the, I guess I want to say the steps in terms of, would it actually involve going to an impoundment site with a big dump truck and picking up a bunch of waste and taking it somewhere? How does that work?
Yeah. I don't know. This is a short answer. But can it be done? Yeah. There isn't that I'm aware of, barriers for us to, I mean, there are challenges to doing that for sure. Who knows what you'll dig up, but you know, certainly there is still a significant amount of fine particulate coal lining these impoundment ponds.
Yeah.
And you know, that's kind of exactly what we need. We need the fine coal powders to convert those over to these aromatic liquids from which we can derive these graphitic high-value products.